Parshas Yisro is the parsha of Mamad Har Sinai, of receiving of the Torah. And the parsha begins with the story of Yitro. It's the story of Vayishma Yitro, that Yitro, the minister of Midian, the father of Moshe, heard everything that Hashem did to Moshe and to Israel's people, that Hashem had taken out of Egypt. And we've spoken about in the past that this was the quality of Yitro and the quality we need to be mekabel the Torah is vayishma, the ability not only to listen, but to be able to really synthesize that which we hear and be able to change from it. Let's look a little further into the next group of psukim. Yitro, the father of Moshe, took Zipporah, the wife of Moshe, after she had been sent away, and her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom, for he had said, Ki amar, I was a sojourner in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for God of my father came to my aid, and he saved me from the sword of Paro. And then the Chumash continues, the Moshe Rabbeinu went out and greeted him, etc. I'd like to look at this group of psukim, of the names of Moshe Rabbeinu's children. We've been speaking about this as a theme in Sefer Shemot. We began with that, the idea of names. Let's raise a number of questions that we have with the names of the children of Moshe Rabbeinu and the placement that's found here. And I think what we'll find is some very, very fundamental ideas in what Kabbalah Satorah is about in general. First and foremost, we take a look at the two names. The first name was Gershom. I was a sojourner in a strange land. And the second, Eliezer, for God and my father came to my aid and he saved me from the sword of Paro. So the obvious question, which a lot of the Mefarshim ask, it's found in 1b. Moshe had been saved from the sword of Paro before he was a sojourner in a strange land. If so, why did he use the name Gershom to commemorate his status as a sojourner before he commemorated his salvation from Paro? Would it not make more sense first, thank you Hashem for saving me from Paro? And b, I was in the land of Midian and I was a stranger. How do we understand this flip? And that's a question that a lot of the Mefarshim deal with on many different levels. The second question we have is the way the psukim describe the way Moshe Rabbeinu named these children. By Gershon it said, for he had said, Ki Amar, where you have what Moshe Rabbeinu said when he named this child. By Eliezer it doesn't say, it just gives a reason, for God and my father came to my aid. It doesn't say, Ki Amar, this is the reason. Why are we missing that Ki Amar? This is what he said by Eliezer, which you find by Gershom. Third question. If we take a look at the Hebrew text in Source 5, B'Shem HaAchad Eliezer, the English does almost a disservice in its translation. It translates it, and the name of the other was Eliezer. That's not really the Hebrew. The Hebrew is B'Shem HaAchad, and the name of the one. The name of the one was Gershom, and the name of the one was Eliezer, which is very awkward Hebrew, and that's why the translation is, and the name of the other. But technically, each one is referred to as the Shem HaAchad, that also needs to be understood. And perhaps the question, which will be our focal question, we'll use these as just springboard questions, and that is, we already have the name of Gershom found in Parashat Shemot. It's very rare that the Chumash is going to repeat why a child was named a certain name, right? You look at the Shvatim. The reason why they're named is mentioned once. That's it. We don't repeat over again. Oh, by the way, Yosef, Yosef Hashem li ben acher, Reuven ki Hashem bo ani. We say it once. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chumash mentions why Moshe Rabbeinu called his eldest son Gershom. Why is it repeated here? And we need to understand what is the significance of it found here. Would it not have made more sense that both children should have just been named there and there? And now it would say, and he took his wife Zipporah and his two sons and brought them to Moshe Rabbeinu. The fact that we have this group of psukim here must be of a significance, must be teaching us something. And I'd like to, Mirza Hashem, try to suggest together, is that in this group of psukim is hinted at, really, some of the most important yesodos of understanding the first one of the Esther Dibrot of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And to really appreciate that Dibra of I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery, there are many different facets to that one commandment, to the first of the Esther Dibrot. And to really appreciate what all these facets are about, they're hinted at here, which is almost like the topic sentence, the opening of Parashat Yitro. On a technical level, why is Gershom before Eliezer? So we find here the Ramban in Source 3b, who answers that, as well as why are the names mentioned here. The Ramban explains, even though this is not the place of their birth in the narrative, the Torah here explains the name of their two sons, for there's no opportunity to mention Eliezer's name in the narrative at his birth, as I explained. And here, Scripture wanted to mention the kindness that the Holy One, blessed be He, did with Moshe. For originally, Moshe had been a sojourner in a strange land. And also there, he gave thanksgiving to God for having saved him from the sword of Paro when he fled from him. Whereas now, he was a king over Israel and drowned Paro and his people in the sea. And as the footnote notes in 3a, the sons' names are elucidated here because it is now possible to appreciate the full extent of Moshe's ascendancy from a fugitive requiring God's saving grace to a powerful king who destroys his oppressor. So why do we mention it here? This is a way of Hakaras HaTov, of showing gratitude toward Hashem, that not only was it Yitro who said Baruch Hashem, that he thanked Hashem, but Moshe Rabbeinu as well was able to appreciate, look where I came from, a stranger in a land, a fugitive, being sought to be killed, and here I've been able to come out to be the leader of this great nation. So the psukim here are underscoring the Karas HaTov, the gratitude that Moshe Rabbeinu felt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, the Ramban notes, it's alluded to in the Ramban, as well as the Sforno in 1b, that why is it this order of Gershom before Eliezer? And this is an important yesod, an important principle in general. And that is, we know the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu Eliezer being saved from the sword of Paro is, it would seem, a reference to when Moshe Rabbeinu killed one of the Egyptian, with the Egyptian taskmaster, and then Dutton of Ebron said, you know, it was found out, you're going to kill us as well. And Moshe Rabbeinu's life was in danger. And the Medrash tells us that Paro tried to kill Moshe Rabbeinu, but his neck became like a shayish, became like marble, and he was unable to kill him. So literally Hashem saved him from the sword of Paro. Why was that? It would seem obvious that should be the name of the first child. Thank you, Hashem, for saving my life. And the answer is that all the while that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Midian, he was still a fugitive. Paro could easily, you know, get him and bring him back and, you know, kill him or bring him to justice. It was only now that Hashem said to him, all those people who wanted to kill you are now dead. So now Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That was right at the story of the Sneh, and then Eliezer is born. It's only now that he can call the name of the child Eliezer. Now, finally, I've been really saved, because now those who are trying to kill me are no longer around. And only now he can really show this appreciation, which has halachic ramifications. We know in terms of the laws of saying Birkas HaGomel, lo aleinu, a person is sick. So a person really needs to have a clean bill of health, right? That they're totally in remission before saying Birkas HaGomel, before doing the Sudas Hodaya. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, is I really can't thank Hashem until I know that I'm completely out of danger. And that's why it's only the second child who's named Eliezer and not the first child. Just another approach before we begin to roll up our sleeves and get into the sugya is Imre Shefer of Kluger points out in Source 5 and 6 that this is not a reference to Paro trying to kill Moshe Rabbeinu in the past. It doesn't say Hitzilani, that he in the past saved me, but Vayatzilani Micherah Paro, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he named this child, had a vision in the future, God will save me from the sword of Paro. Hashem will vanquish the Egyptians, and I will be saved. And that's a reference to Kriyas Yamsuf, which makes sense. Ki Elokei Avi Bezri, that Hashem, the God of my father, has been my help, echoes what we have, what Moshe Rabbeinu singing in the Shira of Zekelivanveu, Elokea Viva Romeru. This is the God of my father, and I will glorify him. That phrase reverberates back in our minds, and clearly, that's why it doesn't say Kiamar, he said, because it wasn't something actually he could articulate. It was something within him. He believed that Hashem was going to save him. So since it is a future-oriented event and not a past-oriented event, first Moshe Rabbeinu names the child Gershon on what happened, and then in the future what will happen, his hope, his prayer, is the Eliezer. Having said that, I think we can understand at the first part of our shiur today the idea of Gershon. Why is his name repeated? What's the significance of him being called before Eliezer? And I think we need to understand the idea of Gershon, of being a ger, and I'd like to look at it on three levels. 1A, 1B, 1C, and then we'll look at a second idea. And all these ideas, four in total, are going to be a reflection of understanding this first Dibra of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Notes of Menachem Sion, Rabbi Sion Zaks in source number 9. B'shemos Eilu B'yamoshe Nashkavato Goralo V'garalamo. These children are a, and this is why we call the shir, the riveting reminders of the Goral, the fate of the Jewish people. V'ashkafa zu lo zazo imenu b'chol asher panah. Moshe Rabbeinu never had this vision be lost from him. The first is to recognize that we are strangers in a land, that Klai Yisrael will very often be in galus, so will be in exile. However, that's the negative. However, recognize that when we are in this situation, there's a positive aspect, and that is v'shem ha'achad Eliezer gam b'hai ha'yidiyah. There is ha'achad. We have to remember the one. The one refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu lavlit. Loli ja'esh af matzavim ma'od chavarim. Even in the most difficult situations, ki lo Hashem ha Yeshua, that Hashem will always save us, ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, v'nachlaso lo yazov, pasuk in Tehillim, that Hashem will never leave us. And this is the message, that overall message, that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to inculcate within us, as almost like our introduction to 1A, B, and C, that whenever we're in galus, Hashem will be with us. Now let's start level 1A. Rav Bifus, quoting the Chafetz Chaim, the Talei Oros, quoting Rav Moshe Feinstein, both note the same idea. And that is, Moshe Rabbeinu is in Yitro's home. Yitro was a very well-known figure at that time. He was a very important figure at that time. But he had not yet converted. He still believed in his many gods. He still was searching, right? We know that very strange medrash that he made. Moshe Rabbeinu promised that his first son, you know, would choose for himself the path. And Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. How are you going to raise children in such an environment? How are you going to raise children in an environment where you have the secular culture all around you? And therefore, what Moshe Rabbeinu did was he invested in the names of the children a message. And he called this child the name Gershon Haitalo Karata Tovla Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's in order to thank Hashem. In source 11, right above the asterisk, Asher Natan Belibo Ladat Argashan Yechona Asher Batarich Lichyop Midyan. Thank you, Hashem, for instilling in me the correct approach of how I have to live in Midyan. I can never feel like I am a person who's a resident here. I always have to feel like I'm a ger, be'eretz nofria, in a strange land. This was the message he was teaching himself and his family. This is not our home. Mitam ze'afikdi mekriyat Hashem Gershon l'shem Eliezer, the asterisk in 11. Continues Rav Moshe Feinstein, Fetzal, this is in fact why Gershon is before Eliezer. Shekein lo hayta kavir hatzalato mecharev paro. It wouldn't be worth being saved from Paro's hand if you have to, you know, just be assimilated and to become part of that culture. No. He wanted to ensure that first and foremost we have to realize that if I'm going to be saved, there had to be a point to be saved. First and foremost, you have to realize that you're a ger. First and foremost, you have to realize you're a Jew. Only once you realize that, then you can thank Hashem for saving me. It's worth being saved. You know, it reminds me, my mother-in-law, she's living be well, was a child in the Holocaust. That's who's left, you know, after all these years. She was a young girl and went through in Paris, in Vital. And she would always, they lived in Pascagoula, Mississippi for over 50 years. Raised, Baruch Hashem, three children there. And they all, she always said to her kids, if I had to suffer through the torments of concentration camp, it had to be worth it. And that is, you must marry Jews. Right? And raising children in Baptist country, where there were very few Jews. So all three of those of her children married Jews. That was an incredible feat, when particularly most of her Baptist friends' children were also marrying Jews. And this is it. If I'm going to go through Golos, it has to be worth it. And we have to understand that we have to have that Jewish pride. There may not have been much in that house. You know, it was, you know, the Sunday school in Mobile, Alabama, and a Pesach Seder, you know, these Manischewitz, Haggadahs, whatever it was. But we're Jewish, and if we suffered as Jews, we're going to marry Jews, raise children as Jews, and we're going to maintain our Jewish identity. And it's interesting, the Limudei Nisan, Rav Nissen Alpert Zatzal, in Source 12 notes, he says, the fact that it's repeated twice, that we have both in Parshat Shemot and here, as well as you have Ki Amar, because he said, it's because Moshe Rabbeinu constantly repeated over and over again to himself. This was like his mantra. I am a ger. I am a sojourner in this land. This is not where I belong. And notes, Rav Alpert, Shim lo naskir et zeh, and if we don't remind ourselves of this, if we don't have the ki amar to constantly say this, malach ha-memunel shecha sholeit banu mishakeach lanu shanachnu gerim, and when the angel over forgetfulness has a hand on us, we ourselves see, unfortunately, how we are reminded that we are strangers. And notes Rav Opera, when we remember that we are strangers, then we don't have to say Ki Amar, that Hashem is the God who protects me, because I see it with my own eyes, that the fact that we can survive in exile is because Hashem is watching over us. And indeed, as Rav Chaskel Abramsky notes, in the name of Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, Source 13. This was the promise that Avraham Avinu was given, that yes, your children may fall to the 49th level of impurity, of Tumah, but they will never lose the fact that they feel that they're Jews. Their names, their identity, their clothes. There's going to be certain marks that will be it that seem very small, but yet are very major. And those are the bagels and lox, the Jewish aspects that we keep reminding ourselves that we are Jews. Ki Amar, this is a fundamental aspect of Jewish history. Jews are a nation that are going to be the wandering Jew. And we're going to go from nation to nation. However, we always have to remind ourselves first and foremost that we are a stranger in this land. This is not our home. As my friend on the Parsha, quoting the Pardes Yosef, explains, Source 14, that Moshe wanted to ensure that his children grew up in a sense of reality. Growing up in the placid environment in Midian, they could easily have developed a full sense of security. What were these children lacking? They lived with their parents in comfort and peace. They had grandparents respected and honored. But Jewish children had to be prepared. They had to be aware that they're always in exile. That persecution, hunger, chaos, terror can appear suddenly out of nowhere. Everything can change in one day. By choosing these names for his children, Moshe is reinforcing this message in their heart. Look at me, he was saying. I used to be a prince in Paro's palace. I had everything imaginable. I was a child of privilege. Then everything turned over and I had to flee for my life. And if the Lord of my father had not rescued me, Paro's executioner would have killed me. And that's how the Ber Moshe and others explain that he was indeed a ger first. He was a ger in Egypt itself. He recognized he was a stranger there, so it is in chronological order. The Pardes Yosef brings the story of the Jews of Spain as an illustration. There was a time when the lives of the Jews in Spain were close to perfect, a true golden age. They were secure, respected, prosperous. They lived in a warm and beautiful land. Their leaders, such as Rav Shmuel HaNagi, were the honored advisors of kings and sultans. The Torah flourished in their midst. and then things change. Forces hostile to Jewish people gain supremacy, and we know the expulsion from Spain, 1492, Tisha B'Av. And he quotes here in 15a that very famous Gemara of Rabbi Bar Chana, who was once traveling on a boat, said in his name, and they saw what they believed to be an island, and they decided to get off and to make a picnic. So they started barbecuing, and indeed it was not an island. It was a fish that sand had grown up on its back. And when the fish felt the heat, it suddenly turned over to cool itself off, and had they not been near their boat, they would have perished. According to the Marshan 15b, this story is a parable. We are all adrift on the stormy sea of exile, and suddenly we see an island. We think we have found a safe haven. We cook and bake and buy houses and make weddings and bar mitzvahs. We have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Everything is wonderful. We say we're no longer in exile. We're in a land flowing with milk and honey. And then the island turns over and realize we've been sitting on the back of a fish all along, and now we consider ourselves fortunate, if only we do not drown in the sea of our exile. And this is the idea Rav Shor brings from the Belzer Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael. What the Chumash begins with, that B'nai Yisrael are Abayim Mitzrayim, the Jewish people came to Egypt, present tense. They never saw themselves as living there for good. They always saw themselves as Shvuchina Nachshav Bo, right now that they came. This is the idea of Gershom. Why is he naming his child this way? Ki Amar. Ki Kain Darko Haya Lomar Kol Hazman Shuger Be'eretz Nochriya. He never believed that this was his land. On this level, number one, my friends, probably the most simplest level to understand Pshat in the Pesukim, the Moshe Rabbeinu is reminding himself constantly, this is not his home. This is, don't get too comfortable here. This is hinted at in the Nesiva Shalom, in the first one of the Aseres HaDibros. And he asks, where do we see the idea of Sipita Yeshua that we should long and yearn for the ultimate redemption? Where is it alluded to in Chumash? And one of the answers that Siva Shalom brings is in the first of the Divra. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher seisichem eretz Yisrael beis avadim. I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt from the house of slavery, from the house of bondage. And that just like Hashem took us out in the past, we have to believe that Hashem will take us out in the future. And this has to be our mantra. Wherever we live, we have to always remind ourselves we are in Golos, we are in exile. The culture that surrounds us, the world that is just permeating into our homes, we have to remind ourselves this is not the ultimate world. Ki Amar is something that we constantly have to say. The opening of Parshas Yisro, the opening of the story of Mamad Har Sinai, is to first and foremost recognize the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's not just to believe in a God who took us out in the past, but very much part and parcel of that is to believe in a God who will redeem us at any moment, and we need to be ready for that level of redemption. Before moving on, my friends, to the second level, I'd just like to share with you a story I heard recently. Hopefully I got most of the details correct. That really reflects this idea that we are Jews in exile and we are Jews who always have to yearn for redemption, both on the global level, on the macro level, as well as the micro level. Recently met a family who was telling me their story, how they came to from Europe to America, and a very large family, and the mother was very, very concerned that her children should remain religious and from in America. And as we know what happened, 80 years ago, the oldest boy went to college, and he met a nice, young, lovely, non-Jewish woman, and he married her. And the mother was beyond distraught. You know, this was like devastation here, to be not only not religious, not even married to a Jew. And this young couple had a few boys. And clearly, since the mother was not Jewish, the boys were not Jewish, even though their last name was a Jewish last name. And the boys grow up, and the boys also get married. And it happens to be that one of the boys happens to marry a nice Jewish girl. So, he's not Jewish, and she's Jewish. And they too have children. And one of these children is a nice girl. Let's focus on this girl who's now in her 20s. and her Jewish mother and non-Jewish father, she's living with them, and the Jewish mother becomes sick and ultimately dies from her sickness when she's young, when she's in her early 20s. She's very devastated from this obvious this family disaster, this tragedy, so she decides to go to the Far East to get some peace and quiet and some level of tranquility. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, her mother just revealed, mamish, at the end of her life, that she's indeed Jewish. The girl didn't even know this. And as when she's off in the Far East, who should she meet? But that's right, my friends, a nice young Jewish boy, a soldier in the Israeli army who was touring, who knew nothing about his Yiddishkeit, and he meets this girl, and he hears her last name, and he says, "You must be Jewish from your last name." And she says, "Well, the truth is, my father isn't Jewish, my mother is Jewish. And really, I can't even bring it back anymore. My grandfather was Jewish, my grandmother wasn't Jewish. Like, you know, go figure this out. This is Jewish. This, unfortunately, is not so uncommon." Anyway, neither of them knew much about their Yiddishkeit, but they decided to explore together. And both of them became Baalei Tshuva. They're now living a Me'ah Sharim. You would not know that they have any, either one of them have any past. They look completely, you know, acculturated into their milieu. And you see here, my friends, when you have a great-grandmother who's davening that her children should remain from. So she wasn't successful with her son. Her grandson wasn't even Jewish. But her great-granddaughter has come back to the fold and is raising a beautiful family in Me'ah Sharim in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. This is why we can never lose hope. Avanochi Hashem Elokecha, I've taken you out in the past, and I will take you out in the future as well. That, my friends, is 1A, the idea of what the being a ger, being a sojourner, is about. Adds the Birkas Mordechai, 1B now, level 1B, a second dimension. And he says, Yitachen Shashem ger shalonitan al ovdat hagerus beres nokriya, el al kiyamar. Gershon's really about Sazer of Ezrachi, the kiyamar. Mishum Shemosh Rabbeinu lo yisik l'shanein latzmo. Moshe Rabbeinu never stopped telling himself, ki ger, you know, he is a stranger, ki aris no kriya, that he has no place here, he has no foothold here, and aval la'olam yamshich liyot ish ivri, that he's always felt himself pulled as a Jew, and la'olam l'yishkach et achav v'mitzrayim, it wasn't just, I'm a Jew, and I'm living in a strange land. That's level 1A. 1B is a step deeper. Who do I really relate to? Who do I feel my level of connection with? Where do I feel that I have a place? My fellow Jews in Egypt. Tamid, tamid, yamshich liyot im echab, lichyot im echab v'mitzrayim. He wanted to always be with his brethren there. Lasait imam ve'ol v'lerot boni amo, to always be with his people. Kan b'midjan, I know I look here, I'm a stranger here. Migurav hinam tamid im echab v'mishubadim. Where do I belong? I belong with my brethren. And this is the idea of the lekach v'alibuv. Quoting the Tiferet Yonasan adds on this, he says, this was the quintessential quality of Moshe Rabbeinu in 19. Vayar b'siglosam, he saw in their pain. Moshe Rabbeinu went out and natane navalibo liyot meitzari ma'im. He went out with his heart and his eyes to be able to feel their pain. This is the idea of, even though Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, were not enslaved in Egypt. So how could a Kohen or Levi said, Avadim ayinu l'paro b'mitzrayim, we were slaves in Egypt, they weren't slaves? The answer is, okay, it's universal, all of us. Good, that's one answer. The other answer is, when you see your brethren in pain, you're also in pain. Anyone who's ever, you know, it's a mother who sees lo aleinu, a family member in pain, sometimes it's more painful for the mother, like, give me the pain, I can't handle my child being in pain. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who lived this. He couldn't see his brother in pain. The Medrash tells us how he put the bricks on his shoulder. He felt as much as he could, he wanted to be mishtate. He wanted to be part of their suffering. And this is why he named his child Gershom Ki Amar, because he always says, I don't belong here. I belong with my brethren. And only after he he's chosen to be a redeemer, could he then focus in on the miracle that Hashem saved him? And he says, now I see that Hashem saved me. I couldn't focus on myself. I'm so connected to the people. But now I see the savior of Paro was from Paro was in order that I should be the leader of the people. So now I can name my second son for what happened to me personally, because my personal redemption is really national redemption. Moshe Rabbeinu's focus was a national focus, not a personal focus, and hence that is why the first child is named Gershom, because he was connecting to the people in general. It's interesting, Rav Shor notes in Source 20, he says, Anu Yoshim Kai B'America, lives in Brooklyn, Ve'ein Anu Chayim Tachar HaPachat Batzar Shalchein B'nei Yisrael Yoshim Tachar HaYom Shal Ritzicha Ve'ibud Nefesh Aidei Ravim Yimach Shemam. We don't feel that same tension that our brethren in Eretz Yisrael feel of being constantly under attack or potential attack from the Arabs. And we're so used to living in this country that we miss the boat, and we have to be feeling the pain of our brethren in Israel as if it's our own pain, and to daven and to add charity and to do whatever we can to gain merit for protection. You know, I'll just add here parenthetically, when I read this piece, I said, you know, since he's written this a number of years ago, a number of years have passed, and now I almost feel like this is Smile's own commentary here, which we add once in a very blue moon. I almost feel like we, living in Eretz Yisrael, have to feel the pain of people who are living under a government that's so uncertain, living in a time of such uncertainty, that nowhere in this world is it safe. And it's not just, you know, the Golos Jews who have to daven for Eretz Yisrael Jews. I think the Eretz Yisrael Jews who have a closer connection to Hashem have to daven for the world as well. We all have to feel this uncertainty of the world we're living in. My friends, this idea, to really feel the pain of another, to really feel where another person is at, that's the key amar of Moshe Rabbeinu, is the second nekuda that I'd like to focus in on as part of Kabbalah Satorah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We know that there are 48, this is the Siach Yosef, there are 48 Kinyanei Torah, there are 48 aspects to acquire Torah, right? So how do we normally acquire something? I give money and it becomes mine. How do I become that the Torah Hashem is Taraso? I have to acquire it through the Kinyanei Torah. We have 48 ways how we can make Torah ours. And one of the 48 ways to make it a Kinyanei Ishi is to be Nosei Be'olim Chavero, to feel the pain of another. And indeed, this is what we find mamish in our parsha. Pasuk says, "Vayichan Sham Yisrael," that they encamped by the mountain Keneged Ahar. Rashi says, "Ki'ish echad b'leiv echad," one person with one heart. And the Targum Yonasan, Rav Yonasan ben Uziel explains, "B'leiv miyached," which means it wasn't that they physically stood together, but their heart was together. Because if there was any aspect of lacking of unity, there would be no way the Torah could be given. If one person isn't really connected, or is mezalza, or in any way humiliates somebody else, there's a pagam. There's something wrong in the accepting of Torah. And this is what we need to understand. To be Nosei Bolim Chaveiro, continuing in 22, is lachush v'largish et hazulat, to really feel the other, both in his time of pain as well as in his time of simcha, and to give him what he really needs. As Rav Uri Weissblum in Sefer HaRasderach, it's quoted here in 23, says, you know, so often, quoting from Saba of Kelm, he says, so often a person is sick, and somebody else meets them, and they said, oh, I heard you were sick, how are you feeling? And they say, Baruch Hashem, better. Then the person says, oh, shoot, now I don't have to worry about you anymore, ah, you're better. That is a very low level of concern for another. Even if they say they're better, they're not 100%. They're still in pain. They're still limited. There's still certain things that they can't do that they're restricted. If you really felt the pain of another, you would still be davening for them. You would still be feeling their pain. You would still be calling them up and checking up on them and seeing how they were doing. That's what we have to have. Shadam Yorer et Kochot HaNefesh. We have to awaken these inner aspects within us. Litzta'er b'tzairo shel hasheni, to really feel the pain of another, ideas bonus sichli, first intellectually and then emotionally. As Chazal tells us in 24a, in kesef taveh tami etani imach, if you lend money to a poor person, a poor person with you, and Rashi brings the medrash, havei mistakel ba'atzmacha ki'ilu ata ani, look at yourself as if you are the poor person. So if you see a meshulach knocking on the door and you for a moment flip it around, what would it be like for Lo'alena, for me, to be knocking on a strange door and be, you know, greeted with a cold expression? How would I feel about that? To really step into another person's shoes. Then when you do that, you're really going to be able to help them out, because you've been able to sense and feel what the other person needs. And that's why in 24b, the Chumash tells us that at the end of Parsha Mishpatim, the people who were able to have this glimpse of Zakenim, of whatever the Shemayim scene was like, they saw a sapphire brick, and Chazal understand this to mean that the entire time of the Shibud, of the enslavement, Hashem said, I feel your pain. I want to be reminded constantly of this pain. As Rav Volpe points out in 25, that beautiful capital to Tehillim, Kuf Mem Beis, we say, Habei jamim ra'ei ve'ein li makir, I turn to my right, I don't recognize anybody. Avad manos mi meni, ain't the Rachel nafshi, no one cares about me. And he davens, hotziya mi masker nafshi, lo dona shmecha, take me out from the confinements of my soul. And you know what this is really about? This is really about, says Rav Volpe, a person going through a difficult time, and nobody cares, and nobody's interested. To be able to be there for that person, to be the shoulder to cry on, to call up the person and say, you know, I'm thinking about you. To be able to call up the person and say, you know, you live in Eretz Yisrael, I went to Kever Rachel and Davin for you. Went to the Kotel. You know what that does to the person? It says, I'm not alone. Somebody cares for me. Someone concerned about me. That's the brick. I have you in my tefillos. I have you in mine. As the Ravoi points out in Chelet Beis in source 26, to be no saber, oh, you have to do with the seabor as well. And it's not a knowing yan the machshava of our gosha bilvad, it's not enough of feeling alone. But nesia ba'ol mechayevet hanhaga b'maisa, you have to do something. So if you visit a person who's sick, see what they need. See, do they need some food? Do they need medicine? If nothing else, daven for them. Open a window, turn on some music, whatever they need. Nichum Avelim, what does the Avelim need? What do their kids need? What does their family need? That's what No Seba Olim Chaveiro is about. Moshe Rabbeinu, who's in this foreign land, doesn't have the ability to do anything to take away the burden of the suffering of the children of Israel. What can he do? Ki Amar. He can name his child as a riveting reminder of that I wish I were with my brethren, that I'm davening for them. My heart is with them. My mind is with them. And my friends, this is not the first time we see this. In 27, we see this by Leah Imenu. The Maharam Shik explains, when Leah Imenu says, Hapam Odet Hashem, now I'll thank God. Don't express it as now I'll thank God and not in any other time, but rather what? Hapam, only now? Yehuda, in future, I will always thank God. Every time I mention the name Yehuda, thank you, Hashem. Thank you over and over again. The name of our children have that ability to bring to consciousness a thought. The Ksava Kabbalah, one of those beautiful Ksava Kabbalahs from Mecklenburg in 28. Cain, who names his son Chanuch in the city Chanuch. Chanuch is about chinuch, it's about dedication. He's trying to be able to dedicate himself, that he should be kitino kanitzrach elachinuch varagilos, of someone who constantly libragel ma'ad ma'ad likarev el Hashem, slowly but surely to come closer to Hashem, that everything that he's doing, he reminds himself, Chano, can you bring me a cup of water? I have to work on myself to improve. I have to work on myself to become a Baal Tshuva. This, my friends, is what Moshe Rabbeinu did. And this is a lesson for our lives as well. Why do we have the names of Moshe Rabbeinu's children here? To remind ourselves of how much of level 1B, to how much Moshe Rabbeinu felt the pain of the people. Ki Amar, that he said it over and over again. Eliezer was to have this miracle, to remind himself of the miracle, no doubt about it. 29 of Dov Yafeh, that you have to do something to remind yourself of a miracle that should be in front of you at all times. Eliezer does that. But the Ki Amar of Gershom, of the older child, to repeat it again in the Chumash, is to tell us that this was his way of feeling the pain of another. You want to know, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you want to know in Matati Odeo, how you can emulate Hashem? He's the God who took us out of Egypt, and through the entire time we were in Egypt, he had that brick to remind him, kivyachol, of the pain we're going through. This is Kabbalah Satorah. This is the core of Torah. Just saying that this week to one of my groups I was teaching, in my mind, the key of Yiddishkeit is one word, sensitivity. This is what Torah is teaching us, how Moshe Rabbeinu was sensitive to the needs and the plight of the people. 1A, a stranger, we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us. Believe he redeemed us in the past, he'll redeem us in the future. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Idea 2, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, took you out of Egypt, and I never forgot the pain you were in. We always need, as Jews, to be cognizant and realize and daven of Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael and Netunim B'Tzara, right, B'Shivya, Amakom Yirachem Aleihem. 1C, rather. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us even a more profound lesson. Not only was he a stranger in Egypt, not only was he a stranger in Midian, not only was he someone who'd rather be with the people, but as Minchas Micha, Rav Rabibo knows in Source 30, he was teaching us that we are gerim in this world, we are strangers in this world, ad shenashuv li yishuv mekareinu, until we get back, b'tzura hachayim, until we get back to the ultimate world. V'lachayim mechavateinu la'avod et bareinu kidei lizkol li yishuv amitich lanu l'chayinetta. Moshe Rabbeinu 1C was teaching us even something more profound, and that we're all strangers in this world. This is not the place that we live. This is not our final destination. Chavetz Chaim in Source 40 gives a great mashal. He says, imagine a person who travels long distances to get to a yarid, to get to a fair, because this is where he's going to make his money for the entire year. He gets to the fair, and a friend says to him, you know what? Let's go out to the movies. Let's go and go to have fun. And the guy says, are you nuts? I'm only here for a few weeks, 2 weeks, to be able to make as much money as I can. I got to live on it for the whole year. I'm not going to waste any minute. I came so far to go off to the movies, to go off to play golf. And says the Chaim, likewise us, we have come. Our souls have come from so far for such a short amount of time in this world. We're going to spend it on things that are going to distract us from the purpose while we're here. We're here in order to gain merit for the next world. We're also at a fair. And okay, it may not be 2 weeks. It might be 100 or 120 years. But still relatively a short amount of time. We can't lose our focus. In 41, the Yakud Lech HaTov quotes the Shlach Kodosh, who says, that's the idea that simple people are called Am Haaretz, simpletons. Am Haaretz literally means people who believe that this world is their world. But as Rav Chaim Shulevitz says, we are a Ben Olam Haba. Our mindset is we're really living in another world. He tells the story of Rav Dessler Zatzal, who was once accompanying a student who was going off back home to another country. And when they got to the train station, he says, Rebbe, I want a bracha. So Barcheni Rebbe, so the Reb Dessler blessed him. He says, Ameachel lecha mikarev libi, I bless you from the depths of my heart. Shetimsa makom noach b'nisiyatcha, that you should have a comfortable place to sit in your journey. A comfortable journey. And the guy looks at him, the Talmud, and says, that's the blessing? I want like a blessing for a lifetime. You're blessing me that I should have a comfortable trip on the train? I should have a comfortable seat? He says, you're missing the understanding. When I'm wishing you a comfortable seat in your journey, I'm talking about a lifetime journey. I'm talking about the journey in this world. We're all on a journey, that you should have a comfortable journey, that you should have positive things that you should be affected with. And my friends, this has to be our mindset. Our mindset has to be that we are here in this world for a specific purpose. As the Shari Derech on Tu B'Shvat, Rav Freiman speaks about so beautifully in 43, the Chovos Levavos, who says that if you would think about all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, there's no way we could repay Hashem. Our whole lives would be repaying Hashem. We owe such a deep debt of gratitude toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of this understanding of the depth of the gratitude we owe to Hashem, we can understand the Medrash in our parsha based on Rabbi Rucham, who said, they stood underneath the mountain, and Hashem suspended the mountain over their head. The Medrash says, they're underneath the mountain. And he says, if you accept the Torah, great. If not, I'm going to bury you right here. And ask the famous question that tells folks, well, hold on, they said, they're ready to keep Torah. Why are you threatening them? And the answer is, we have to understand that keeping Torah is not just a nice thing to do when I feel like it. It's my life, and if I don't keep Torah, and if I don't have the Torah mindset in life, then what is the world's worth? And that's what we have to understand. When I speak about Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, it's not when I'm in the mood I believe, but I'm not in the mood, so it's not comfortable for me. This is 24/7 of the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. However, understand, and this is in the arrow in 44, says Rav Freiman in Shari Derech, when we understand that this is what I have to do, let me never for a moment allow that attitude to enter into my Avodas Hashem. I have to understand intellectually this is what I have to do, but emotionally I have to feel what a chusad is, what a merit it is to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and to be able to serve Him with tremendous amount of simcha and joy. There are many things that I have to do in life. I have to do many things in life. I may not want to do them, but if I'm doing it to a person who I love and I want to take care of, so yes, it may be difficult to take care of an elderly parent. It may be very stressful and very difficult, but I love them. So therefore, I'll do it with joy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us to understand, I am the Lord your God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But never for a moment forget that because I am the Lord your God, there is an imperative here. And that imperative is, you have to follow the mitzvot. And if you don't, this is it. There's no life, there's no purpose. However, when you do this, you should do it with a feeling of love. You should do it with a feeling of connection. And hence the end of the pasuk, who took us out of Egypt. The famous Mefarshim who explain, why does it speak about God who took us out of Egypt and not God who created the world? Because He's a personal God. He's a God, we've experienced His kindness. And when I envelop myself with Hashem's kindness and love, then I am able to really serve Him with that feeling of gratitude, that service of a schus. What a merit. Let's just see what we've seen till now, my friends, 1A, B, and C, and then we'll move to level 2. What are these psukim doing here? Why do we need to remind it that he was a stranger? Don't we know this already? What's the idea of Ki Amar? Why is this primary? So we see that there are three ideas Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us here about the Gershel, and it's repeated twice in the Torah, what it means to be a Ger, and how they're really very much interconnected to the first one of the Aserta Dibrot of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. This becomes like the, you know, the opening sentence of the opening paragraph to give us a sense of what Torah is about. Idea number one is to understand that Hashem redeemed us in the past and will redeem us in the future. That Moshe Rabbeinu always understood, I'm a stranger in this land and I'm longing for a time of redemption. Ki Amar, he constantly said this. He's constantly looking for something much greater. Idea one. Idea number two, Ki Amar, that I am a ger, that I am a stranger, because I'd rather be with my brother, to be no sefer olim chaveiro, and to understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol had that brick while we were in Egypt. And that to understand what Torah is about is Vayichan. You have to have Yichud Lev. You have to have unity of the heart. You have to have a feeling of connection. That is also an imperative of what Torah is about. And third, the Anochi Hashem Elokecha is to understand that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be a ger in this world, to give the ultimate picture that I am God, and that's what gives the world meaning. And without that, why are we here? Why do we wake up every day? We're here, and we owe Hashem a tremendous amount of debt of gratitude. And we have to understand that we have a personal relationship with Hashem. He took us out of Egypt. He cares about each and every one of us individually. And that love and concern that He has for us, I need to repay Him every day and develop that personal relationship with Him with love, with feeling of a schus, what a merit. Moshe Rabbeinu was ki amar, constantly saying, you know, we're just a sojourner in this world. This is not our final destination. Having said that, my friends, in the few minutes that we have left, let's focus in on the V'Shem HaAchad, V'Shem HaAchad, this one's name and this one's name, and not the second name. The Asher of a Rebbe in Be'er Moshe in 47 points out to teach us Lefi Shezebe Met Chashuv Yoter El Shagavei Seder Azmanim HaGeirus Mitzrayim Kadma Tchila V'Nimsa Sheyesh B'Shtei Hashem Ma'ilo Shonos. Both of these have greatness to themselves. Each one, to call the child based on the Geirus, based on the being a sojourner, and to thank Hashem for being saved. Each one has its own set of greatness. And therefore, B'Shem HaAchad, B'Shem HaAchad, to mark that each one was great, it notes this. Rav Duner and Mikdash HaLevi teaches us a fundamental lesson about parenting. And he says in the asterisk, V'nira lo marsha tera mevakesh l'antenu shasur lanu l'gachez al mimi aladenu ke'el ben sheni. We can never look at our children, oh, they're number four, oh, they're number seven. You have to look at them as if they are the child. Ben Yachi, lo od yelid, not another child. El yelid Yachi de miyuchad, a special child. Bal netunim hamiyuchadim lo, with his special kochos hanefesh that makes him special. And v'omnam zo yisod ikar bechinuch habanim. This is an important principle in raising children. You can't compare one child to another. Every child has their own strengths and weaknesses, and we have to look at each one unique for where they are. You know, Reb Silverstein, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, has this as one of his shilas, of a Moab who was called and said, I've waited 20 years for a child, and now, Baruch Hashem, I have this son. Can you be the Moab at the bris? And the guy gets very emotionally, wow, 20 years, finally have a child, and he really invests a tremendous amount, made sure to be at this bris. And he's looking up at the women's section. You know, women are emotional, that's who they are. Nothing seems to be outstanding. And he's wondering, like, you know, if a child born after 20 years, you would think that there'd be a little bit more, you know, emotion at this bris. It seemed to be like a regular bris. When the bris was over, he sees the father of the boy talking to the kids, okay, you go to Gan, you take this one to Gan. And he said to him, I thought that you told me this was a child after 20 years. And the father said to the Moab, yes, every child is a special child. I've waited 20 years for this particular child. The fact that I have X amount of other children is irrelevant. This is a special child. I've waited for this child for 20 years. That's a beautiful way of looking at each and every one of our children. Rabbi Kluger, in My Soul Desire, says, indeed, the intent that a person bear children is not those who are identical to him. Rather, each child constitutes a new revelation of godliness in the world. Continuing on the last page in source number 50. The parent's role is to convey to the children the foundations of emunah, of truth in this world. At the same time, as relates, each child has unique traits. And the goal of chinuch is that each child serve Hashem in his unique way, in consonance with his individual character. Or if we have a vision of exactly how we want our children to grow up, following our own nature, we try to mold them according to this predetermined picture. And we can't do that. We have to realize that one child may be stronger in davening, one in chesed, one in halacha, one may be extroverted, one may be introverted. That's why we have in the Haggadah, that we speak to each child where they are at. Our job is to pass on to our children the truth, to help them, to give them support. Let each child find his own unique area of serving Hashem. The word chinuch is related to the word chanukah sabayis, or chanukah samizbeach, which means inauguration of the role they will serve. The word lechanoch, lechanech, is used in reference to starting. To be mechanech, a child that is to help him set out on the right path, so to be able to continue his individual mission in life. As Shlomo Mel says, educate a child. Chanoch lenar pi darko. Give a child a beginning point. Point him in the right direction and give him a target goal, so he'll be able to continue his direction in his own way. And that's what we have to understand both. When we look at our children and looking at ourselves, we have to understand every person's uniqueness. Shem Achad, Shem Achad. The Chumash is teaching us both in parenting others as well as parenting ourselves, that we are unique, individual. As Rav Freifeld says, that we have to recognize that every person is 53, a unique, a world unto himself, utterly unlike any other. The human species is the pinnacle of creation, the high point of the whole cosmos. And within humankind, among the billions and billions of human beings that inhabit the surface of this planet, no two individuals are identical or even alike. We are, in each and every one of us, an entire world that its own set of raw materials, its own experiences, its own stipulations, its situations, its own circumstances, its own relationship, its own strengths and shortcomings. The Almighty made us different because He wants each human being to engage in the world as an artist, a sculptor, whose mission is to use his particular skills to mold his particular raw materials into a living work of art. That is our purpose here on this earth, to make our lives into living works of art. And my friends, this is why the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, 54, Ali Shur quotes, L'fichach nivra adam yechidi, l'lam decha shekol ma'abed nefesh cham Yisrael, ma'ala lava ketiv, gilu yibed olam alei. We know that if one life is destroyed, if the whole world is destroyed. One life is saved, if the whole world is saved. We have to look at ourselves as a miniature world. Shem ha'achad, v'shem ha'achad, the one. We have to look at ourselves as the only one. And this, my friends, on this level, is clear why this is the opening of the Parsha of Kabbalah Satorah. We know the Ramban speaks about that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu in introduction, preparation to receiving of the Torah, he speaks in plural. The bracket of 54, Atem Re'item, you saw, plural. Kimi Hashemayim Dibarti Imachem, that I spoke to you, plural. Shemo Tishma'u, everything's in plural. And then we get to the first of the Seres HaDibros. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord, your God, singular. Asher Seisicha Me'eretz Yisrael, who took you out of Egypt. Lo Yelecha, singular. To teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize that Hashem is speaking to each and every one of us. Harei B'Matan Torah, the asterisk of 54, Hevin V'Yerkish Kolachad, at Matan Torah, everyone understood, the Medrash speaks about, that every person heard the call of Hashem, the voice of Hashem, in a way that they could personally assimilate. V'Yerkish Kolachad, Ki Ito B'Myuchad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaber, Hashem is talking uniquely to me. Ki Be'emes HaTorah, Hi Nyano Shel Kol Echa V'Echa Mi'Yisrael B'Yichidiyuto, that Hashem has given us the Torah, each and every one of us, for our uniqueness and our individual roles. And this, my friends, is, in summation, what I believe is this group of psukim, which seems to be, you know, like a nice story, we're just retelling names, is really riveting reminders for us of the fundamental aspects of what Maamad Har Sinai is about, that are couched in the names of these children, and are meant for us to remember that we're always a stranger, and we always have to look for redemption. God redeemed us in the past, He'll redeem us in the future. We have to remember that Hashem was always with us in our pain, Ima Anochi Mitzara, that we always have to be with others in the pain. Ki Amar, Moshe Rabbeinu was always reminded, the riveting reminder, this is where I'd like to be. Idea number one, C, is to recognize that when we talk about being a ger, being a stranger, we're all strangers in this world. This is not our final destination. And we have to have our priorities in order. Ki Amar, He constantly said that. And we too need to understand that Hashem demands a tremendous amount from us, and He has a personal relationship with us, and we need to be reminded of that. And finally, V'Shem HaAchad, V'Shem HaAchad, the one name, to remind ourselves that Hashem speaks to each and every one of us individually. And by calling each child, we don't call them, okay, you're 1, you're 15, you're Each child has a name. Each name has a purpose. Each name has a reminder. Each name is teaching us a lesson, because each and every one of us has a lesson. Each and every one of us is an artist for us to build our world. And we need to remind ourselves of this at all times, that no two people are alike, that every one of our children, every one of us, and everyone that we meet in this world is special and unique, and be able to focus in on what makes them special, what makes them unique, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with each and every one of us a unique relationship, as the Sfarim say, we should each view ourselves as the only child, the Shem HaChad, the only child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.